You can definitely hear mine in all that chaos, unfortunately. But good evening. How's everybody doing? Good, 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 good. It's a good day to be alive, right? No matter what happened today, no matter what you've been through this week, it's still a good day, right? Yep. When you're on this side of the dirt, it's a good day. You have breath in your lungs, and God gave you another day, not because you need it, but because someone needs you. Yes. Remember that. Remember that. You are important. It doesn't matter what you've been through, what experiences you've had. Just, it doesn't matter. God still loves you no matter what. You know, and I was reading the in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, it was the story of the prodigal son. You know, we've heard this, if you've been in church more than 10 minutes, you've heard at least 3 sermons about this section of the Bible. Right, Mama Brenda? Yep. If you've been around church, you could probably quote this story. See, this story of the prodigal son, it's a parallel of us and God. See, in this story, the father is the Father God. And the prodigal son is you and me. And Jesus used this story, it says in verse Luke 15 and 11, it says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. And a few days later, in verse 13, it says, a few days later, his younger son packed all of his belongings, moved to a distant land where he wasted his money in wild living. You know, we've seen this. The son was living in his father's home. Okay, go with me here. If the father in this story is God, and the son is us, if the son was living in the father's home, he was a Christian, right? He was living in the home under God, and he had an inheritance, right? But what does it say? He lived in the father's home, had the inheritance, but something made him decide to leave. Something made him. It doesn't talk about what that cause is, but, you know, if you begin to think about that and apply this story to our lives, what makes people walk away from God? What makes people leave? For me, what I think is this son, he had all of the inheritance, all of the love of God, and he chose to walk away because it got old. Now go with me here. Keep up, okay? He allowed his relationship with the Father to become a routine instead of a relationship of love. See, he went through all of the motions without any of the emotion of love to the Father. How many times in our own lives do we do that with God? If I look at my life, I can look back and see times where I've gone through all of the emotions. See, he allowed his relationship with the Father to become a routine, to become complacent. And when you become complacent in God, you start looking for greener pastures. Just like the prodigal son did. He said, I want my inheritance, I want my money, and I want to go live somewhere else. I want to branch out. I want to live a different life. The different life can tempt us. And he succumbed to that temptation. So he left. He became complacent. And this can happen when our relationship with God becomes a checklist relationship. What do I mean by that? A checklist relationship is defined by how quickly we can check off what we did in our time with God to move on to the next thing. Have you ever done that? I got both hands up on that one. I have done that before. If I am being honest, there have been periods of my life where I had a checklist relationship with God. It was wake up on Sunday, go Sunday morning, check. Got that. Got my Jesus song. Oh, I listened to a worship song on Tuesday. Check. Spend a little time with Jesus in that 4.5 minutes. And you begin to check it just so you can go to the next thing. Because we lead busy lives. But see, what happens when we succumb to a checklist relationship, it's all about, boom, knocked it out. Next thing. What's up? It's, I did my Jesus for today. I can move on to the things I really want to do. It's lather, rinse, and repeat. It becomes a monotony. You spend time, quote unquote, with God, but nothing changes in your life. And when that begins to happen, when you have that relationship, you stop growing in the things of God. You stop experiencing His provision, His hand. You get off. And as B.B. King says, the thrill is gone. 1969, he wrote that song. The thrill is gone. I can hear it in my head right now. But see, sometimes we let that happen. And when our relationship gets cold and our thoughts of the world creep in, what happens? You begin to think, I'm not enough. You begin to say, I'm not worthy. You begin to get off track and get away from the heart, the true nature of God. And in those times, there's no peace. There's no joy. There's no satisfaction. You live a dull and empty life. But see, God wants so much more than that for us. In James 4 and 7, James 4, 7 and 8, in the New Living Translation, it says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. In the King James Version, it says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Why do I bring that up? See, that's the opposite of a dull checklist relationship with God. When it says, draw yourselves unto him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, when a soul seeks out God, God meets that soul where he's at. And see, our actions, it's all about actions with God. It's put up or show up, or, you know, put up or shut up. See, with God, it's saying draw near. Location is important when it comes to things of God. Location, where you are in relationship with God. When you are near to him, you can hear him better. When you're near to him, you can walk the path that he wants you to have. When you're near to him, you can have peace in the middle of the storm. When you're near to him, ain't no grave gonna hold your body down. When you draw near to him, it says, come to me. There's an action there, an effort, a real effort. Because as I've discovered in my relationships, and like in my marriage, time used is different than time spent. Here's what I mean by that. Time used. Using up time is different than actually using it for a purpose. Talking about my relationship with my wife. If you're in a relationship, you've been in a relationship for a while, have you ever found yourself sitting, watching TV, looking at your phone? They're right next to you. You're spending time with them, but there's no interaction. You ever done that? Anybody? Just me? All right, if we're honest. See, that is time used. sitting in front of the TV, looking at your phone, you're together in a location, but not in spirit. God wants us to not only use our time, check those things off, but he wants us to spend our time. Use it for his purposes, drawing closer to him. Because see, location is just the first part. Being near, that's just the first part. It goes on to say in James chapter 4 and verse 8, when it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Wash your hands. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. So he's saying, come close to me, be near me, but then do something when you're near me. Do something. And that something, it says, to cleanse your hands and to purify your hearts. What does that mean? Cleansing your hands, cleansing your actions, using your actions for him. Purifying your hearts, purifying your thoughts. Because our hand and our heart are supposed to move in harmony towards him. Our hands and our hearts should always be moving towards God. Because as we move closer and we get closer to God, we discover his heart. And God's heart becomes our heart. God's thoughts become our thoughts. And there's a change in ourself. See, when you're just going through the motions, you can sing the words, but they're meaningless. When you're going through the motions to check off, I spent time with Jesus today. There's no love there. He says, draw closer to me. Live a life of intention and purpose towards me. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, starting in verse 29, it says, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord with all of your, what? All of your heart. All of your soul. All of your mind and all of your strength. God wants us to live a life seeking him with all of our heart. Seeking him intensely. With all of our soul. Being sincere towards him. With all of our mind. With all of our strength, all of our energy, with everything that we have, he wants us to live a life of desire towards him, not just going through the motions, not just checking a box for today to say, I spent my time with Jesus. He wants us to move from a life of duty to a life of love. Move from the drudgery of Christianity to a relationship with him. Because remember, time used is different than time spent. Why is this important? Why is all of this important? Why am I saying these things? Because we're facing a battle. We're facing a world that is lost and dying without hope. And if we're just going through the motions, we have nothing to offer those people that need the hope that we're supposed to have inside of us. See, that is the purpose. That is the point. That has been my challenge to myself. And what I want to challenge you with is live a life of purpose and intention towards the things of God. Not just a Sunday morning Christianity. Not just a 4-minute worship song on a Tuesday. A real life of purpose. One where it's all about our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength and everything that we have going to towards him. It's in Acts 17. It says these words. Acts 17 and 27. It says, his purpose, talking about God, was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. His purpose was for people to seek God and to find him. And though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. In the King James Version, it says what? It says it in these words. Buddy, throw that up there. King James, Acts 17, 28. In the King James, it says, for in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. All of our purpose is in God. And when we're going through the motions, we miss our purpose every single time. We miss it. But it says, in him we live. We have our life. In him we can move. And in him we have our being and our purpose. As certain as all. Going back, it says, and we are his children, for we are also his offspring. We are his children. And he wants us to have a relationship with him. A real, true, seeking relationship. Just like the father in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 and 20. God is that father, and he sees the son in Luke 15, 20. He says, and the son, he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, no matter where you are in your walk with God, no matter where you find yourself right now, while you're still a long way off, his father saw him coming. No matter where you're at, the Father God sees you. And he always has this response. And it says in Luke 15, 20, he says he saw him coming and he was filled with love and compassion. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done in your walk, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, or whether it's somewhere in between, the Father sees you where you're at, and he's filled with love and compassion, and he ran to his son, and he embraced him, and he kissed him. And he goes on to say, my son is alive. My son who was dead is alive. God wants us to be alive, and he's looking for us no matter where we're at. He's filled with love and compassion, and he wants a real and true relationship with us. So that is the challenge I bring to you tonight. Wherever you're at in your relationship, go a step farther. No matter what you've done, God loves you. Go towards him. Draw near to him in a real way, because each and every time, he will run to you, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done. He still loves you, and you're worthy. He still loves you, and you're worth it. He still loves you, no matter what. I encourage you tonight, draw close to him. Bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And Lord, I ask that you would draw our hearts to you. Help us to run to you like you want to run to us. Help us to draw our hearts and not just go through the motions, not spend a life checking off a box of Christianity, but a real, true love for you. Because as your love fills us, it will spill out to other people. We give you all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.